Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come, ye to thee to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord, I come and I adore you. I come and I adore you. I come and I adore you. You're Christ, my Lord.
Well, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for motivating us and leading us in the singing of these Christmas carols that we don't sing often enough, because many of them we do that just seasonally at the Advent season, but they really could be sung any time during the year because of this great grassroots gospel there. Thank you for the breath of life. We take for granted so many things, but we thank you for the breath of life. And now, Holy Spirit, be our teachers. We look to the Word of God. We look to history. We look to tradition, combining those things in ways that are understandable, but also ways that are reasonable, and ways that explain to us that your plan of salvation has not changed. It's continuing on like a mighty roaring river. We thank you, we praise you, Jesus. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, Christmas Sunday, 2016 A.D. Did you hear me? Christmas Sunday, spelled S-O-N-D-A-Y, 2016 A.D. So this year, we celebrate the birth of Christ on the first day of the week, Sunday. And I'm hammering in that AD part because I have a point there. And I want to look at as a theme for us today, what if Jesus had never come? What if Jesus had never come? I want to look at several passages of Scripture, beginning with Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. This, of course, is a very familiar scripture for Christmas time in particular, or Advent season in particular. We've actually, in weeks past, looked at it, but I want to look at it even again today. And thinking about this, what if Jesus had never come? What would be lost? And when we think about that, what if Grandpa never came to the house? What if son or daughter never came by? What if next door neighbor never came? What if the mailman didn't deliver? What if UPS didn't bring packages or whatever? What if the tax man didn't show up and the tax appraiser, property appraiser? think about all those things and how seemingly consequential those are to most of us. But more consequential is, what if Jesus had never come? So in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, reading from the King James translation, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And we'll read on just a little bit more. Verse 7, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and peace. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Now, as we are considering, what if Jesus had never come? What if that Christ child had not been born? What if that son had not been given? What if the government would not be upon the shoulder of the Lord? And of course, his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Well, if he didn't come, we wouldn't have Wonderful, we wouldn't have Counselor, we wouldn't have Mighty God, we wouldn't have Everlasting Father, we wouldn't have Prince of Peace. And of course, as we're looking into 2017 in America, in fact, the whole world is watching as the whole world watches America. At one time, the whole world watched the British Empire. But now, pretty much, the whole world watches America. I'd like to say watches the American Constitutional Republic, but in some respects watches us as if we were an empire. And so as we're considering a new president in America, some people are thinking, of course, he's going to be able to change everything within a matter of days or weeks or months, or maybe in his first year. And some people are talking about, and I've heard this said before about politicians, that their first official act is to start their re-election campaign. And so of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. But we know this cannot apply to anybody except Jesus. And to his government and peace, there'll be no end. And we can take great hope from that and great encouragement from that. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. No human intervention is going to perform this. And that certainly doesn't mean that God's people should not be praying. And we are told scripturally, of course, that we need to pray for those that have authority in our lives. Pray for the government. Pray for those that are in government. But I hear too much from people these days. And by the way, I want to say that probably this is one of the most, in recent recollection, the most prominent time of people saying Merry Christmas for a number of years. And there is an encouragement and a hopefulness that it would be nice to think it'll last at least until February or somewhere thereabouts, that people are looking to the new president to be able to change everything. But of course, it's up to Jesus to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever. Jesus has the plan. Jesus is the plan. God's plan of salvation is on course, and the river is flowing, and is a mighty rushing wind. So when we ask the question, what if Jesus had never come? Let's look at some other passages of Scripture that gives us an idea of what we would be losing. What would have been lost if Jesus did not come? And of course, I do like to remind people, Jesus came at a very dark time in the history of man, and in many ways is a very dark time, even like we're facing now, and we're facing a very dark time worldwide. So let's look at Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. I love to hear those pages turning. Mark chapter 10, at verse 45. Mark 10, verse 45. It's a very long chapter of Scripture. And at verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Well, one of the things, of course, that we would have forfeited if Jesus did not come was to have the perfect example of what it is to be not selfish and not demanding to be served, but to be a servant. We would have lost the perfect example, if you will, of what it is to serve. And of course, as we look to people to be peace officers and look to government workers to be public servants, not dictators, and to give his life a ransom for many. And of course, the messianic vision there is that Jesus, if he had not come, he would not be giving his life. We call that substituting himself for us as a propitiation, fancy word, for our sins. There would be no substitute. We'd have to die for our own sins. We'd have to be punished for our own sins. So Jesus not coming would be a serious defect in that area. Let's look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. And we're looking at the many things that would have been sadly lacking, even in this fallen world, even as it sometimes seems so dismal. But be sure that these things would be lacking if Jesus had not come. And of course, that begs another question that we'll get to after a while. So in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law." And so the first advent, which is described here, "but when the fullness of the time had come." Okay, and as I earlier said, it was a very dark time in the history of man when Jesus was born. Very dark time. Very similar to now. So when the fullness of the time had come, when the time was just right, why was Jesus born when he was? Because the Father said, "This is the time to be born." The fullness of the time had come. And there's great implication there, of course, when you look at that. What that actually means, the fullness of time had come. God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. And of course, we know that Scripture tells us that Jesus had not come to abolish the law. He was born under the law. And of course, one of the issues there, he was born under the law, but we know that Mary, who was a virgin, was pregnant. Some people didn't understand that that happened by divine appointment, that she had not known any man, that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So under the law, she would have been stoned to death, or she would have been cast out for being pregnant out of wedlock. But Jesus came to fulfill the law. That's important. And in verse 5, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. And of course, that's a promotion for those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. We wouldn't be having that. We wouldn't be able to have peace with God our Father, except paying for those things, our own sins, ourselves. And certainly not adopted as sons, but cast out for the many sins that we have committed. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and of course I know it's not a popular subject amongst many places. There aren't a whole lot of pulpits today that are probably discussing the issue of sins and what would happen to us if we did not have Jesus as the propitiation of our sins, as the person that he's the only one who could do it because it had to be a sinless lamb. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning of verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning of verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, actually I'm reading 2 Timothy instead of 1 Timothy, but we'll continue on, that's all right too. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Well, there's one thing we would not have if Jesus didn't come. We wouldn't have the right set of rules to be following. So let's read 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now when we look at that, once again, Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. Okay? One God, one mediator between God and men. It's not many ways of salvation, only one way of salvation, through Christ, who gave himself a ransom. Now, that's an interesting word to talk about, a ransom. We hear in the news all the time how people have been kidnapped, and the kidnappers want a ransom. They want to be paid to give that person back. Well, here's a situation. Who had we been captured by that a ransom needed to be paid? We've been captured by sin. We were under the law. And under the law, of course, we were judged guilty. And we were captured by old Slewfoot, otherwise known as Satan, who had a hold of us and had us in bondage. And so Jesus came along and said, I will pay the ransom for all those who will come to me. But this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. So we know this. He desires that all people would be saved. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. But if we're not going to exercise our free will to accept the ransom that's being paid for us, no, don't pay that ransom for me. I'd rather stay in bondage. Don't pay that ransom for me, Jesus. I'd rather live in sin. I'd rather not be what you want me to be. I don't want to come to the knowledge of the truth. And see, to be saved, we have to come to the knowledge of truth. We can't save ourselves. If Jesus didn't come, we'd drown. If Jesus didn't come, and of course, as Jesus didn't come, the question is, if he didn't come the first time, he wouldn't be coming the second time. We'll talk a little bit about that. in a moment or two. I want to mention, as I had pushed hard on the word Anno Domini, a lot of Americans will say that there's nothing about Christ in our foundational documents. That is totally false. Done in convention by the unanimous consent of the United States present, the 17th day of September in the year of our Lord, 1787, and of the independence of the United States of America, the 12th. In witness whereof we have hereunto subscribed our names. By dating those foundational documents, and I'd like to say the foundational documents of the greatest nation in history, to the birth of Jesus Christ. Okay, now wait a minute. When we say Anno Domini, that's establishing the date from the birth of Christ. We had B.C. before Christ, A.D. after Christ. So in our foundational documents, our founding fathers established that they understood that the date A.D. began with the birth of Christ. So when people say there's nothing in it about celebrating Christmas and it's not right and so forth and so on, they're missing some very important points. In a sense, the founders essentially celebrated Christmas, meaning they celebrated the birth of Christ, as they signed their names, since the declaration was also dated from the first Christmas. When was the first Christmas? First Christmas was the birth of Christ. That was the first year in A.D., Anno Domini. You can even say that the two most important political documents in history are in the nature of Christmas cards, if you will, from the founders to us. But yet so many people miss that. When I've heard many even Christians say, well, there's nothing about Christ in our foundational documents. Well, there is one of the most important things that our founders chose to sign the document and date the documents that they were signing, A.D. A.D. starts with the birth of Christ, Anno Domini, year of our Lord, and has continued forward even to now. Luke chapter 2, verse 14 says to us, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. That's an interesting rendering. That's in the English Standard Version. Because glory to God in the highest, not glory to God in the lowest, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Now, who are the people who's have the favor of the Lord resting on them? God's people. Now, we're all created by the Lord, but we're not all God's people. There are some that have chosen to rebel against him, have chosen not to accept his gift, not to accept his birth, and all those other things. And so we would not see the favor of the Lord resting on people such as that. In our colonial history, the names of John and Charles Wesley pop up. And Charles Wesley, of course, was a great hymn writer. He wrote the Hymns of the Nativity of Our Lord. This songbook came out in 1745 and had at least 25 editions during the 18th century. And these are words to one of the hymns found in that book called Ye Heavenly Choir. Ye Heavenly Choir, assist me to sing, and strike the soft lyre, and honor our King. His mighty salvation demands all our praise, our best adoration, and loftiest lays. All glory to God, who ruleth on high, and now hath bestowed and sent from the sky, Christ Jesus the Savior, poor mortals to bless. The pledge of his favor, the seal of their peace. So we can ask a question, is Christmas just a sentimental season or a glorious reality? for a lot of people, it's just a time to party, time to give gifts. And of course, throughout my lifetime, I can see that even when I was a boy, people would get stressed, you know, going shopping and trying to buy things for everybody and get it wrapped and get it under the tree or all those kind of things. And the sentimentality of the season, which you can understand why the Pilgrims and the Puritans, both in England and here in New England, did not want that to happen, because it takes away from the very important understanding of what would happen and what would have happened if Jesus had not come. And a lot of things that have actually happened on Christmas Eve, for example, I always say it's a time of miracles. And also on Christmas Day, I'm going to read some of those in a minute. I hold the precepts of Jesus as delivered by himself to be the most pure, benevolent, and sublime which have ever been preached to a man. Thomas Jefferson to Jared Sparks, November 4th, 1820. Of course, we know all the stuff we hear about Thomas Jefferson, that he didn't believe, and he didn't believe in Jesus, and he cut up a Bible and all this other stuff. But when you read something like that, I hold the precepts of Jesus as delivered by himself. And of course, as I've often said, many people are upset about certain things that Jesus did, when in fact it wasn't Jesus that did it. There are things that are people who have claimed to be Christians and followers of Jesus and follower of the Nazarene and follower, you know, the early church in the first, about 100 AD, followers of the light, or also known as Nazarenes, followers of the Nazarene, and actually they're first known as Christians in about 100 AD. But they were not always doing what Jesus had taught them to do. And so many people have held Jesus responsible for things that Jesus is not responsible for. And in the same way, they're thinking about other ways of salvation. I'll work my way to heaven, or I'll be good. And of course, if it were possible that we could be good without Jesus, then Jesus wouldn't have had to come. One of my favorite quotes concerning the foundation of America comes from John Quincy Adams. On July 4th, 1837, in Newburyport, Massachusetts, he spoke these words: "Why is it that, next to the birthday of the Savior of the world, your most joyous and most venerated festival returns on this day? Is it not that, in the chain of human events, the birthday of the nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior? That it forms a leading event in the progress of the gospel dispensation? Is it not that the Declaration of Independence first organized the social compact on the foundation of the Redeemer's mission on earth? That it laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity and gave to the world the first irrevocable pledge of the fulfillment of the prophecies announced directly from heaven at the birth of the Savior and predicted by the greatest of the Hebrew prophets 600 years before?" So what if Jesus had never come? If Jesus had never come, America would never have been born. If Jesus had never come, the fulfillment of the prophecies by the Old Testament Hebrew prophets 600 years before would not have happened. And of course, as I have just taught about AD and Anno Domini, what our founding fathers believe, that's confirmed by John Quincy Adams, that the birth of America and the birth of Christ are concomitant, because the AD is signed there that from the birth of Christ, we're dating time, and we're recognizing that in our foundational documents. I'm going to take just a little bit of time to read a few things to you that happened on Christmas Day. In 496 AD, Clovis, king of the Franks, was baptized with 3,000 of his soldiers at Reims, France. The name Clovis evolved into Louis, which was the name of 22 French kings. On Christmas Day 597 A.D., Anno Domini, 10,000 Anglo-Saxons were baptized in England on the banks of the Swale Sea inlet between the Isle of Sheppey and Kent by St. Augustine of Canterbury and his companions. St. Augustine had also baptized King Ethelbert of Kent. So when we think about these things, 10,000 Anglo-Saxons, now these were pagans, and we call them pagans because they believed in many gods. Same thing with the Franks. They believed in many gods, and they became believers in Christ and gave up their pagan ways. On Christmas Day, 800 AD, Charlemagne was crowned Holy Roman Emperor in St. John Lateran Church in Rome, Italy. His father was Charles Martel, who stopped the Muslims from invading France in 732 AD. In 846 AD, 11,000 Muslims invaded Rome and desecrated the graves of St. Peter and St. Paul. And if Jesus had never come, you can be sure there'd be nobody to stand against the invasion of many aberrant heretical beliefs, such as Islam. On Christmas Day, 1000 AD, St. Stephen was crowned the King of Hungary. His pious son, St. Emeric, whose name in Italian is Amerigo, was the namesake of Amerigo Vespucci, the explorer and mapmaker after whom the continent of America was named. On Christmas Day, 1025 AD, Mieszko II Lambert was crowned King of Poland and was Boleslaw II the Generous, crowned on Christmas Day in 1076. On Christmas Day 1066 AD, William the Conqueror was crowned King of England at Westminster Abbey, London. The same year, a Muslim became offended at a Jewish administrator in Granada, Spain, and stirred Muslims to riot, killing nearly every one of the 4,000 Jews in the city. On Christmas Day 1868 AD, President Andrew Johnson issued a complete unconditional pardon to all Confederate soldiers, and how ironic that is, because the complete pardon and unconditional pardon to all Confederate soldiers is very much, in a sense, like the complete and unconditional pardon we received, or we receive when we accept Christ as our Savior, because we are definitely like Confederate soldiers, or of course leading in a rebellion, and Confederate soldiers were rebelling against the Union and so forth and so on. It's a great imagery there. In 1869, Mark Twain published Innocents Abroad, telling of his visit to the Church of the Nativity in the Holy Land. This spot where the very first Merry Christmas was uttered in all the world, Mark Twain contributed. He called at the hollow place under a rock where Paul hid during his flight till his pursuers gave him up, and to the mausoleum of the 5,000 Christians who were massacred in Damascus in 1861 by the Turks. And of course, through our history, we've had problems with the Muslims. And of course, the Muslims conquering by the sword, not conquering by love in the name of Christ, but conquering by the sword. And of course, I've just read you the quote from John Quincy Adams about the birthday of the nation being indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior. He also said a few other things about that. So the birth of the Savior, and predicted by the greatest of the Hebrew prophets, as we mentioned, 600 years before. President Herbert Hoover wrote in 1932 AD, "Your Christmas service held each year at the foot of a living tree, which was alive at the time of the birth of Christ, should be continued as a further symbol of the unbroken chain of life leading back to this great moment and the spiritual life of mankind. So throughout our history, there have been people who were willing to understand and to speak of how important that it was that Jesus was born. Mm-hmm. And in the things they were saying, points out with it, what would have happened if Jesus was never born, if Jesus didn't come? And of course, we know in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus, in communication with the Heavenly Father, said, "Can't this cup pass from me?" And the Father said, "Well, yes, it can. But if it does, these people are not going to be saved. They're not going to be redeemed." And so that challenge to servanthood, even to us today, what if we didn't live? What if we didn't live for Christ? What if we did not serve as Christ served? Now, I can't pay the price for someone else's sin. I can't even really pay the price for my own. But would it make a difference if we had not lived? Maybe, maybe not. But it definitely would make a difference if we'd never lived for Christ, because we are anointed of the Lord to see change come to the world. Dwight Eisenhower, in 1960 AD, through the ages, men have felt the uplift of the spirit of Christmas. We commemorate the birth of Christ, of Christ's child, giving expression to our gratitude for the great things that his coming has brought about in the world. So what would have happened if Jesus wasn't born? A lot of great things that he brought to this world would not have happened. Jimmy Carter commented in 1977 AD, "Christmas has a special meaning for those of us who are Christians, those of us who believe in Christ, those of us who know that almost 2,000 years ago, the Son of Peace was born." Or President Ronald Reagan, President number 40, in 1983, "Christmas is a time to open our hearts to millions forbidden the freedom to worship a God who so loved the world that he gave us the birth of the Christ child so that we might learn to love." And of course, there are people throughout the world that are being denied this relationship with Christ because they live in countries that have some kind of heathen religion or no religion at all, and so they're not permitted. Although many people, even though they're, and I read a story this morning about a Chinese pastor who spent 18 years in a Chinese prison because he would not give up his faith in Christ. He would continue to say, "Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only life." And to make life really harsh for him, they assigned him to taking care of the sewage tanks. But in all of that, what he reported, the guards didn't like going down there because they couldn't stand the smell of it. So he basically was alone and spent his time singing unto the Lord and praying with the Lord instead of complaining the fact, "Why me, Lord?" The message of Jesus is one of hope and joy. I now know there are only those who recognize Christmas Day as the birth of a wise teacher. Then there are others of us who believe that he was the Son of God, that he was divine. And of course, that is the truth, as opposed to celebrating the birth of a wise teacher. And of course, Jesus didn't come because we needed another wise teacher or any of these other things. Clarence Mannion was the dean of Notre Dame College of Law. He was appointed by President Eisenhower to help restore states' powers that were usurped during FDR's administration. So Dean Clarence Mannion, whose book Keys to Peace sold millions of copies, wrote regarding Christmas Day, "The long march of measured time suddenly stopped. It then did an about-face and started to march in another direction, and to a different drum straight through the ensuing centuries of Christ and Christendom. B.C., before Christ, A.D., Anno Domini, the year of our Lord, marked each one of the only reliable milestones along the path of world history." So the whole world, if you want to talk about a pinnacle or an axis to turn on, is the birth of Christ. The end of the first time chain and the beginning of the second came together on the night that Christ was born in Bethlehem. The first Christmas day thus stands as the great divide for the timing and recording of all people, things, and events that have lived or taken place upon the earth. It is the one place where an inquiring mind can go in either direction without stopping. The one place on the long, long trail of time where the magnetic needle of history stands vertically and points up. John 3:16 and 18, as we Christians should know so well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him should be saved. And I am convinced if Jesus did not come in the first advent, no one would be able to be saved. All would be condemned. Now, as we're pulling this message of what would happen if Jesus hadn't come together, think about some things. For example, as we talked about John Quincy Adams, the United States of America is the only nation in human history established by mostly Christian people, founded upon biblical natural law principles and dedicated to the purpose of religious and personal liberty and equal justice under the law for all men. This truth is easily observed with America's earliest history. And so, if Jesus had not come, there would not have been an example of such religious and personal liberty and equal justice under the law for all men. The rule of law instead of the rule of men. The rule of Jesus instead of the rule of men. It's a truth that would not have been apparent to us if Jesus had never come. Now, you've probably done all your Christmas shopping already and already giving gifts, but sometimes people give some more gifts even after Christmas Day. We have Christmas week. You might want to think about giving these gifts. These are gift suggestions. To your enemy, give forgiveness. To an opponent, give tolerance. To a friend, your heart. To a customer, service. To all, charity. To every child, a good example. And to yourself, respect. Merry Christmas. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.